good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to our Lafayette Public Library Board of Control meeting. Appreciate everyone attending. We will go ahead and kick off our meeting. If everyone would please stand, a roll call. In the room we have Mr. Chris, Ms. Rena, myself, Alan, Ms. Ella, Mr. Eric, and our new lawyer that we have on board with us that is taking Mr. Stewart's place. If you would introduce yourself.
Daniel Gauthier.
Definitely appreciate you being here with us, Mr. Gauthier.
Thank you.
All right, if you would, Ms. Rena, would you bring us to the Lord in prayer?
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this opportunity to enact our civic duty. We thank you for all those who are compassionate and caring towards this loving space that we have as a library that promotes education and free resources much needed by the community. Please be with our board and give us the spirit of wisdom and guidance and patience and humility. In Jesus Christ we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. Mr. Eric is going to read our meeting announcement for us.
Welcome to the Lafayette Public Library Board of Control meeting. As a board trustee, I would like to announce the following. This is a public meeting to address the Board of Control on any item on the agenda. Please complete and submit the public speaker form prior to the calling of the agenda item in order to have the opportunity to speak. Additional procedures and policies for addressing the board may be found on the public speaker form. Completed speaker forms and other items for submission to the board should be handed to Ms. Nancy Hebert or designee seated at the table to our right. When addressing the board, state your name, parish of residence, and title for the official record. All comments must pertain to library business in general and the action item being considered in particular. The 3-minute rule will be in effect. Members of the public are asked to remain quiet during the meeting to allow the board to conduct its business efficiently and to refrain from making comments while other members of the public are addressing the board from the podium. Anyone who willfully disrupts the meeting to the extent that the orderly conduct thereof is seriously compromised will be subject to removal in accordance with applicable law. Meeting procedures are governed generally by Robert's Rule of Order, but the presiding officer may deviate from Robert's Rules of Order when necessary, convenient, or desirable for the efficient proceedings of the meeting. Please silence all phones and electronic devices. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Eric. Okay, we'll open up. Do we have any comments from the board? Okay, I do have a bit of a comment I want to make tonight that I've kind of prepared in light of this Saturday's election. The voters of Lafayette Parish have spoken. 56% of them said no to the renewal of the library's 3.12 mil property tax. We hear them, we take that result seriously, and we respect the democratic process that produced it. Saturday's ballot was a hard one statewide. All 5 state constitutional amendments also failed, several by overwhelming margins. Voters across Louisiana walked into the polls carrying a real and legitimate question about how government handles public money. We're not going to use that broader context as an excuse. The question that voters have asked us and have every right to ask is a simple one. Are we getting our money's worth? It's the responsibility of this board and of Director Delane and his administration to answer that question clearly, transparently, and with evidence. I want to begin that answer by saying plainly what this library is. This library reflects the value of Lafayette Parish. Our collection, our programming, and our policies are shaped by the families, the students, the seniors, and the educators who use this system continually. The programs on our calendars are the programs our community engage with. Story time for young children, reading programs for students, job search resources and computer access, genealogy and Louisiana history for our seniors, maker spaces for teenagers, building real skills with their hands. Free meeting rooms for civic groups, small businesses, study groups, and ministries. We're not a library that chases the latest trends or headlines. We're a library that serves Lafayette Parish. Now, let me share the rest of that answer with the evidentiary facts. In 2019, this library system was operating at a $1.5 million deficit. In 2024, after several years of disciplined decisions by the previous board and the current administration, we closed this year past with a $3.6 million surplus. We did that while reducing staff. We did that while increasing programming, increasing visits, and beginning major capital investments. The South Regional renovation, the North Regional renovation and expansion, elevator modernization here at the main library, the design of a new Northeast Regional Library on the Holy Rosary property. In 2025 alone, this system experienced over 746,000 visits to our 10 locations, nearly three visits for every man, woman, and child in Lafayette Parish. We circulated 1.5 million items. We hosted 3,830 free programs attended by more than 80,000 people. We facilitated over 35,000 free meeting and study room reservations. We hold more than 55,000 active student library cards via their school IDs across K through 12th grade schools, ULL and SOLACC. We deliver all of these on a median average of less than $4 per Lafayette Parish homeowner per month. And for homes valued at $75,000 or less, it's absolutely free. This is a strong return on investment by any reasonable measure of public service offered. The library, which provides what our families and children and seniors and students actually want and use, and it costs the median homeowner less per month than a single latte at their favorite coffee spot. This is the value proposition, and our job is to make sure that every citizen of Lafayette Parish knows this. I also want to take a moment to speak to something deeper than just dollars and cents, because the case for the public library has never just been one that was economic. We're living through an era in which loneliness, isolation, and a time lost to screens has been formally recognized as a public health concern in this country, according to the Surgeon General. This data is sobering, and the communities feeling it the most look just like our small community. The public library is one of the last places left in American life where a person can walk through the door, sit down, and be welcomed. No purchase, no subscription, no algorithm deciding what you're going to see. Where a child can sit on a rug at story time, where a teen can build something real with their hands on a Saturday morning in our amazing makerspace, where a senior can find a comfortable chair, a familiar face, and warm conversation. Where neighbors end up in the same room with each other, the 80,000 program attendees, the 35,000 meeting room bookings we counted last year represents something a smartphone, a tablet, or a computer has never been able to provide. Lafayette Parish neighbors in person interacting to continue the wonderful heritage Lafayette Parish is known for. It's great people. That is also part of what less than $4 a month per residence is providing in our parish. This millage remains on the books through December 31st, 2026. Under Louisiana law, the library has one more opportunity this December 2025 to ask the voters to keep this funding in place. Notice I said in place, not an additional tax. We fully intend to use that opportunity. Between now and then, this board and the library administration have a responsibility and an opportunity to communicate the value of this institution more clearly than we have ever before. That means showing up in every corner of this parish, in places where we won on Saturday and in places where we did not. It means putting our numbers, our programs, and our spending in front of every citizen who wants to see them. It means listening to what our neighbors are telling us about what they need from their library and showing them what their library already is and offers freely to them. To the more than 16,750 voters who stood with the library on Saturday, thank you. To the ones who pushed through our doors nearly 750,000 times across 10 locations this past year, I want to ask something of you. Tell someone. Tell a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, the person beside you at church on Sunday. Tell them what this library did for your child, for your niece, for your nephew, for your parent. Tell them for you. The strongest case for this institution will not be made by the board or the administration between now and December. It will be made by the citizens of this wonderful parish who already know what their library is worth and what it means to them. And do not stop there. Call your local favorite news station. Call the radio program you listen to on your drive into work. Tell them what this library means to your family. Share your story on social media or whatever platform you spend your time on. And come to our library's pages and share it there too. We want to hear it, and we want your neighbors to hear it. Every story, every memory, every quiet moment this library gave you or your child or your parent, those are the things that move people. Numbers from a board have their place, but cannot communicate the most important value that our voices do. And to the voters who said no on Saturday, or maybe you didn't vote at all, we want to hear from you. Tell us what concerns you. Tell us what you want this library to be or what you believe it should be. Pick up the phone and call our offices at 337-261-5781. Send an email to directorsoffice@lafayettepubliclibrary.org. Come to a board meeting. The concerns we can address, we will. The questions we can answer, we will. The conversation does not end with Saturday's vote. As far as we're concerned, it's just beginning. This library belongs to every citizen of Lafayette Parish, whether you walk into one of our branches every week or haven't been inside one of them for some time. It reflects this community. It serves this community. It is the one better investment that this parish makes continually. And it is the duty of this board and administration to make sure every citizen of Lafayette Parish has a chance to see that for themselves. So thank you. And with that, we will resume our regularly scheduled events and meeting. We'll move on to the director's report by Mr. Galane.
I'm going to give the assistant director's report first, if that's okay.
Absolutely, please.
So, at the current time, we have three vacancies, including two LTA-1 positions and an LTA-3 position, and we're interviewing for these positions in the next few weeks. In the past month, Dawn attended the Friends Monthly Board meeting and had another opportunity to do some outreach by reading aloud to students at local elementary schools. In April, we had a total of 57,271 visitors to our libraries, which was about a 5% increase over March. We had 113,400 some odd checkouts, 7,200 patrons attended 323 programs we offered. This was a 14% increase in total programs and an increase of about 32% in attendance as compared to March. Our outreach staff was busy in April. The bookmobile made 36 stops and had 517 patron visits, and staff made 46 homebound deliveries. Staff is gearing up for our Summer Reading Challenge kickoff, which is Saturday, June 6th from 10 to 2 at the South Regional location. We hope to see everyone there. If you're lucky, she didn't write this, I'm just adding this one to her report. If you're lucky, you can dunk the director. And that's the assistant director's report. So, So.
Please reserve comments during the director's report.
So.
It was the assistant director's report.
Please reserve your comments.
Anyway, so back to the director's report. So an update on the Northeast Library. So the lease was signed and I was called over to the CFO's office last week and signed the piece of paper that paid for 99 years of lease. We've been working on the floor plan basics for the new library. We've settled on the basic layout of how the library is going to be situated on the property with regard to both parking and the rest of the Holy Rosary development. We've been discussing with the architect what the exterior of the building is going to look like. This week coming, or early next week, we are going to discuss the landscaping a little bit. We will be meeting at Munkus Park, which is one of the most recent landscaping projects done with native plants, because we will try to have as much of the landscaping be native. It is both better for Lafayette and it is easier from a maintenance standpoint. And it has been a process that the current parish administration has been moving with towards, both helping with drainage and such, that the native plants are a good thing. We have scheduled meetings coming up about the floor plan and the exterior of the building with the architect. The hope is that sometime in the next couple of months that the board will be presented and be able to show the public where we're going with this library. So the other aspect of my director's report. So spent last month and a few weeks before that talking to the media, talking to community groups, talking about our library, the services we offer, where we were 5 years ago when our last text came up, how we've improved our situation, the support we've had. And then I voted, and then I woke up Sunday morning and I saw the election results. And first thing we did was we posted to social media the very contact information that you Alan provided to reach out, because we heard, you know, the voters spoke and they said what they said, and we want to know what we have to do to regain their support and their trust with regard to this. The vast majority of the responses have not been particularly aimed at the election and the library so much as a specific change that we made several years ago with our ebooks. But we are going to address everyone who has reached out. We will answer their questions. We will tell them the thought process behind it. At tonight's meeting, we're going to present the budget that we'd like you to recommend to the parish. And next week, Larry and I will be at the CFO's office, where the administration will give us their opinion of our budget and where they would like us to go. And it'll be in August when we speak in front of the council. We're hoping that we can be on the ballot in December. We're not sure. I've reached out to LCG to ask them, so what is the process? What is as soon as we can be on? We know we can't be in November because change in Louisiana's constitution several years ago prohibits us from going within 6 months of this election, and the November election will be less than 6 months from there. We do get another shot in 27. So our tax runs to 26. If we were to go in 27 and win, we would collect in 27. So we have a minimum of two more attempts at this. I do think that the people of Lafayette are getting their money's worth. The stats, the number of people who come through our doors, they show the value that we are to our community. We've spent the last 5 years getting our books and our finances in order. We've made some cuts that have not made people particularly happy with us, well, with me. But by doing all of that, we have made it so that with this tax passing, we can operate another library and continue operating the libraries we have. It's supported all of the maintenance and infrastructure improvements that you mentioned when you were speaking, Alan. And it allows us to prepare for the, prepare and plan for the future, be prepared for the future. We have not made any changes in the less than 48 hours since the election to the budget that we're proposing. Having seen the election results this year and when the previous amendments were up, I have to believe, based on the popularity of our programs and the support that we've received from the community, at least in the 5 years that I have been front and center paying attention to it, plus before that, I saw it, I just wasn't at these meetings to see it and hear about it, that we're going to pass if we are on a ballot that is not about something other than us. So if there's not a lot of issues that people feel very strongly about, and I hope that people feel very strongly about the library, but feel very strongly about in a general manner with a statewide movement to vote no, I do believe that we're going to pass. We have the support of the board, we have the support of the council, we have the support of LCG's administration. When we bring our budget to the CFO's office, we will hear, we're going to hear tonight's meeting, the board's thoughts about it. We'll hear from them. Until we get another shot at the tax, I think that making any changes to our budget, we won't know what the priorities are from everyone. We will not have had the chance to look at this and say, okay, are we losing Fridays? Are we losing nights? Are we closing a branch? None of that. We haven't discussed that because we knew we had at least two more shots. And we also knew the situation we were going into on this election, knowing that the amendments were there, knowing that there was a concerted statewide effort to stop the amendments, and knowing that when you tell everyone to just say no, it's a lot easier to just say no. And so I hope that when you look at the budget today, that you don't think that we're making an irresponsible decision. We still have time to make changes to our budget. We still have time to get our tax renewed. And I've already interviewed three times today, twice in front of the camera. We're missing that as we speak, one of them. And I will be reaching out to just about everybody that we reached out to before. I have received your phone call about what else you would like me to do. And we are preparing to approach the tax very much the way we approached the Northeast Library. We'll be putting centralized information where we tell people where our money's going. We did that back in 21. I wish I could tell you why I did not do that in 26, but I did not. I did reach out to more people in person, but we'll be providing more tools, more visuals, more clear explanations of what we're doing. I do think that another aspect with the tax that caused a little bit of confusion was the wording. The 3.12 mils renewal is a renewal. Everyone paid 3.12 last year and the year before. However, when this tax was originally passed, it was passed at 2.91. It was rolled up by the parish. And I feel that it's difficult to say it's not an increase when it's not an increase year to year, but you've got the 2.91 there, and we're looking for a way to better clarify how that worked out. We'll get this done.
Dan, I have a question. What is the deadline to get the budget in for the library?
Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
Last Friday.
Last Friday?
Last Friday. But the parish isn't gonna, you know. I've said this before, and I don't like the way it sounds when I say it, especially because I'm saying it to my bosses. But I propose a budget to you, which you can then tell me you want to change, and we will make note when on the times that we have to present it to the parish first. We'll make note when we meet with the parish president, and we'll make note again in August when we meet with the council. But the administration can make changes to the budget regardless of what I have recommended to you and regardless of what you have changed for me. And then the parish council can do the same again. And after the parish council votes, the mayor president can veto parts of it. So this is a very complicated process.
Yeah, and I certainly appreciate that, but at the same time, I can't help but feeling that I think part of the vote no across the board that we saw across the state is probably from some of the thought process of, hey, our budget just got cut. That's the world we're living in today. And I have a hard time as the president and as a trustee with other trustees, I have a hard time just saying, oh yeah, let's go ahead and approve this budget. Because we don't have those funds as it stands today. So I would like to have some conversation amongst the board and get some of the thoughts of some of the other trustees. I understand it's overdue, but at the same time, I'm not about rubber stamping things. And that's just my perspective and my opinion. So I'd like to open up for discussion.
If I may.
Sure, please.
I am by no means asking you to rubber stamp this. We bring the budget before you, we will answer the questions that you have, and we understand that your recommendation is based on your responsibilities to the people who appointed you.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, I just wanted to make sure that you understood that I have complete faith in the process.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that.
Can we wait till we get to that portion of the agenda to speak about that as a board?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
That's good.
Can I ask a clarifying question to his report?
Sure.
Mr. Gillian, you mentioned that you were in talks with LCG about whether it would go back on the ballot or not. Right now, that's just early talks. Is that correct?
That's correct. I have not heard back, but I reached out. That was the first thing I did this morning.
Okay, and then my second question was that there is, correct me if I'm wrong, funding through the end of year 2026.
There's funding through the end of year 2027. Okay. We have already collected the money we're spending this year. We are collecting the money in 26 that we will spend next year.
Okay.
So at the end of 26, that tax gets collected in January, and that is the money we use to fund next year.
Okay, thank you.
Danny, I have a qualifying question regarding the budget. Not per se what's in it, but do you have a contingency plan in the event that for whatever reason the millage doesn't pass again in the future, or if the administration and or the council asks for an alternative limited budget? I want to say thank you for your hard work. This is a very difficult moment for you. It's challenging as a leader for you. I think you've done an incredible job. I know that the feelings of anxiety and disappointment and just everything that you're feeling. So I don't ask that out of criticism, but to prepare, I believe we should move forward with a full budget and full faith that you will develop a plan to communicate the value of what you do. I don't think you need to restore trust. I think people just don't clearly understand everything that the library does. I think they just don't know for whatever reason. But I think others down the line, including myself, is there an alternative plan saying, let's just say that our budget is cut. Do you have a plan, or are you planning to make a plan for those who ask, hey, what happens if the money's not there?
Be because going to this one, we knew we had two more shots and that we knew we were going to collect the money. So this year is fine and next year is fine. We did not prepare with the election coming so close to the meetings for the budget hearings, but we will be working on that and we will be reaching out to the board and to the parish council because we are going to need some priorities. We're going to want the parish council to sort of hint at what their priorities are in terms of their constituents before we make a move. But yes, we are prepared to make contingency plans, and we are prepared to have some sort of contingency plan idea in front of us before the voters are voting again.
And Mom, thank you, Danny. The second question, one of the reasons that I asked twice for the marketing people to come here is, as a marketer myself, as someone who does promotion and communication for a living, my second question would be, what plans are you developing internally, and how are we leveraging the marketing firm to develop a communication strategy? Because I feel like in the Facebook post, many of the comments were about things that you offer, and not, that's not your fault. I'm not saying that's anyone's fault, but it's just obvious that the layperson has often no clue some of the things that we probably in this room all are very familiar with. But are we developing a marketing plan, or at least a communication or a PR plan over the next 6 months? If we do run to put it back on the ballot, there, it needs to be backed up with a plan to communicate with the general public. So when they reach that ballot, hopefully they're better informed and ideally bought in. Is there a plan? Are you working with them to develop a plan?
We are working with them, and actually we're in the process of beginning the implementation of the plan. So hopefully over the next 6 months, we will be fully into marketing the library in such a way that we can better communicate what it is we do. Because like you said, a lot of the posts, these are the people who follow us, who are making these responses. And we've had the issue with LPSS in the past, not realizing some of the resources we have. We have people who come in here regularly who don't realize the other resources that we have that they find useful when they find out. And so that is exactly why I came to the board before wanting to do a marketing plan, and we should be starting the actual implementation. We just started something about our 80th birthday last month, a soft rollout, which is coming out. So we should be moving forward, and it should be well established by the time we go to the polls again.
I want to say, I think that some of the issue might be intimidation with people, not knowing how to use some of the equipment and things that the library does offer, even feeling welcome to come to a program. So if we can reach out to nonprofits, let them have meetings here, just go over things that the library offers, it might help a little bit. I'm just throwing that out there.
We actually try to go out to them.
Okay.
It's easier on them. They have their scheduled meetings and such, so we try to go out to them because we don't really have a means to coordinate with their schedules if they're not reaching out to come use our rooms and the bookings that we already have from people who are already using our rooms. So we reach out to the nonprofits and the other groups, and we go to them, to their meetings.
Okay. I guess the example that I can think of is like the homework, tutoring homework stuff that we offer the kids in public school or private school, I'm sure. Just trying to help make parents or the nonprofits who work with the kids with these programs, just make them comfortable with the process and how it works and stuff. I think we would get more people coming in and stuff.
Okay,
thank you. I did want to say thank you to you, your staff, everyone, all the libraries. We are so blessed with great libraries and employees, and the programs that we offer, to me, second to none. And your speech, Mr. Moore, was absolutely beautiful, and it portrayed what our library system is and the people who work in the system. And if that is not shared on the library's Facebook page, I hope y'all do that And I would like a copy of that because I would like to share that with people in the community to let them see that information. So thank you.
Yeah, I just have one more question, Deanie. You had mentioned that you yourself have been going out, speaking with media outlets, making yourself visible, sharing information, doing a lot of this legwork of informing the community. So my questions for you and for Daniel, our attorney, what privileges or responsibilities do we have as a board to also engage with the community beyond our personal Facebook pages? If it's our attorney's advice to not speak publicly, that's fine, but I am unaware of what that kind of gray area looks like for us.
So first, from a legal perspective, I see no issue with you promoting something having to do with the library, whether that's a ballot proposition or otherwise. You're a human first, and you can make your voice known as a board member and as a person. So.
Okay, and Deanie, I think people had called on us. I feel like I may have gotten an email or something of people asking us to speak out, and I don't know if any of my colleagues did or something, but I was curious what you...
So my understanding is, so on site, this is for me and my staff, on site, we can do nothing. Off site and off the clock, my employees can speak, vote yes, vote no for a proposition. Civil service classified employees are prohibited from supporting a party or a candidate in any way, shape, or form other than by just going out and voting. I am not. I can support a candidate or a party. I just can't do it at work. The board members, my understanding from being a consultant at the State Library and dealing with these questions for other public libraries, is that you are allowed to go speak and ask people to vote yes or to vote no on a ballot initiative, including the library's ballot initiative. I'm not positive if I'm allowed to ask people publicly to vote yes on a ballot initiative. I don't see why I would not be allowed to, but I have never gotten a legal opinion on that, but I am familiar with the board's ability. Y'all are allowed.
Okay. Thank you. And Mr. Moore, I think I agree with Ms. Ella that your statement was very well thought out and put together, and I would like to offer my suggestion of submitting it to the advocate. I think it would be something that people could read and learn from.
Danny, okay. It's not a question, but just a comment. Thank you for all the hard work you've put in. I know today's probably a difficult day, a feeling of defeat, but we appreciate you. We support you. We know your work is important. We know your work is touching lives in ways our stats can never report, and we're very, very grateful for that. And anything that we can do, anything that I can do to support you and your incredible team, don't hesitate to ask. I try not to overstep my boundaries, but I'm happy to jump in and offer anything in terms of my time to speak up, or my team does a lot of pro bono video work. Obviously, we're not allowed to film because of the rules, but at any point, if you need video content made at no cost, I would donate all of that time to help get the message out and work with your marketing team hand, block, and step with your message, because we think it's that important. When I sat down with you, upon my appointment, I told you a story about my mother and how my stepfather had just passed away. And the first place we thought to bring her was the library. And it gets me emotional, as it should, because the library is so much to so many people. It's a room of requirement. It means so much to so many people. So anything that we can do, I'll speak for myself, I'm sure other board members will offer, you know, the service they can provide. We stand behind you 110%. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Ms. Christopher. I also want to publicly just acknowledge Ms. Mejia. She came with Danny and I to KPL, and we even did a radio segment, and I guess it was 6, 7, 8 minutes long, something like that, and just doing the best we can to, again, get all this information out. So the best, as anyone in marketing, Christopher can, I'm sure, amend this, Google marketing, Super Bowl commercials, none of it amounts to what word of mouth amounts to. So please just share how the library has impacted you. Okay. Any other comments about Mr. Delane's report? We'll come back to the budget here in just momentarily. All right, we'll move on to Mr. Larry. Operations report, please.
All right. Our projects are continuing to move forward. The main library elevator modernization project is pretty much at a standstill due to manufacturing of the equipment. Shop drawings have been submitted and reviewed. Library staff are considering laminate selections for the interior right now. But until the manufacturing has taken place and scheduling for removal and installation, you won't hear much about this project for a few months. And moving on to the South Regional Library renovation project, everything's just about done. The state fire marshal is scheduled to be on site, is it Wednesday or Thursday of this week, to do a final walkthrough and test the sensors on the new HVAC equipment to make sure they trigger the alarm in certain scenarios. And the architect will do one more final walkthrough and we'll close out the project and get warranty documents on that one. The re-roofing project at the South Regional Library is also just about done. Metal capping and trim work has started, so that should be done this summer. That finishes the South Regional Library renovations. North Regional Library renovations in Karen Crow. The renovation project was stalled slightly initially, but now things are finally moving forward. A lot of exterior work has occurred. New concrete has been poured in the courtyard to prevent a lot of the windblown rain and reverse flow water flowing into the building. And also they poured on the drive-through side of the building new concrete, also raised the elevation to prevent the flooding of staff cars. We're just fine-tuning things. All of the old mechanical HVAC systems have been removed. Ductworks have been removed. Ceiling grids have been removed. So they're really getting into the down into the demo side of things at this time. So that project is finally moving along. The Northeast Regional Library, as Danny mentioned, is progressing well with the schematic design phase. Like he said, we've pretty much got a layout of the floor plan, and hopefully we'll present you guys all something in the next few months. That's what I have for facilities. Also included in your packet is a financial report, not the budget. This is the monthly report I provide to you all. This is for our current fiscal year running from November 1st, 2025 through October 31st, 2026. The report was run at May 13th. As of the time of this report, our revenues were $14.8 million with expenses at $8.3 million. In comparison to last year at this time, our revenues were $14.2 million with expenses at $6.8 million. And that's all I have for the operations report.
Okay. Any comments or questions from Mr. Larry? All right, we'll move on to the review and the approval of minutes from last month's meeting.
Mr. President, I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes of the April 20, 2026 regular board meeting.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
A second.
All right, Ms. Ella has motion. Mr. Eric has seconded. Do we have any public comment?
No public comments.
No public comment. All those in favor of approving minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the ayes have it. The motion carries. And we'll move into new business. First up, we have library book discards.
A motion for the library to discard 3,223 books having been out of use for over a year due to the books being superseded, obsolete, unused, or otherwise unnecessary.
Okay, we have a motion by Ms. Derrick. Any seconds?
I'll second it.
We have a second by Ms. Ella. Any public comment?
No public comment.
No public comment. We'll take a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? Aye. The motion carries for our library book discards. Okay, we'll move into the budget conversation, which I'm sure we'll have a bit more. New business budget for 26-27. Board will be asked to approve the recommended budget as you've already seen. So we'll resume any conversation there that may have been desired but stifled while we were moving down the agenda items.
Mr. Danny, I have a question about the deadline. I know we passed it, but do we still have a little bit of flexibility there?
Anything that the board states today will be presented to the parish administration next Tuesday morning, and I will send it to them in writing before that, but they will have all of your comments will be presented to Monique and the CFO for their consideration and for them to consider before the council gets to see it in August. So anything that comes out of this meeting, whether you vote for the budget as it is, or if you make recommendations for changes, we will bring all of that out loud. So even if you have comments that you don't add into it, they will be made aware of your concerns.
So my main concern is just, you know, I see the funding that we have out until next year, but if the next bid for the funding fails again, I'm just very concerned, like, what would we do having planned out this money and not starting now to plan for that failure so that we don't have to really cut big time programs?
If the tax renewal fails, that is 65% of our revenue. It's going to take serious conversations with the board and the parish council and administration and the library administration to prepare. You're talking almost two-thirds of our budget. So we have given thoughts to what our priorities might be, and we will come up with a better outline of that going into the next election. But the scale of that cut, I mean, Larry is going to speak.
So put it in perspective, we're losing about $9 million recurring revenue. The cost of our personnel adds up to $9 million. Just to put it in perspective.
So what I would love, I know we're very short on time, but I would love just an outline of, like, what would have to happen to keep us in business if the tax fails. Just because for me, I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around this whole thing.
I have avoided saying anything that might sound like a threat to the public, because it feels very much that way. And I know it's not. It's financial facts. But when I hear it, when I am on the voter side about something else, and when I say it when I'm sitting here, it feels like a threat. But if you take 65% of our revenue away, we would have to shutter buildings, remove staff, curtail our hours severely, and at that point in time, the question becomes, okay, which branches do we keep open? Do we keep the branches open that see the most people, or the branches that see the most people, the most centrally located, and it affects, so to give an example, South Regional is our busiest branch, the main library is our second busiest branch. But the population is growing out in the Scott area, the population is growing in the Broussard-Youngsville area. So if we cut the less busy branches, we are actually affecting a larger portion of the population than if we cut like the South Regional branch. It's a difficult conversation to have, and I am sorry I am not really prepared to have it at this moment, especially not, I had 48 hours to start thinking about this, and I knew going into Saturday that I had 3 shots, so it wasn't nearly the priority it became. But I have spent most of today, you know, answering questions from the public and the press and thinking about this. And so over the next several weeks, we will be providing you with what some scenarios might look like so that you have something as we get closer. Because I don't believe that I get to make this decision. I believe this decision that I will come to you and say, and so we will start preparing stuff so as we get closer to a ballot, the board gets to publicly, if you wish, say, this is where we want you to focus should anything go wrong.
Danny, I don't think it's a threat. You're not threatening the public. You're being honest with the people.
I understand.
What will happen if that tax does not pass?
I understand, Ella. But it feels like once. So when I am on the other end, so like when the school tax is up and I have kids in school and they tell us, you know, if you don't, I do understand that they can't afford it. And I understand from my end, if we don't pass our tax, when I make these cuts, I'm not coming to the board and say, hey, this is the cuts I want to make, and going to the public and saying, you know, you voted no, so you don't get this. I understand that that's not what we're doing, but it's hard. Feels like it. And when you're hearing a public entity say to you, well, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. We're not going to word it like that, of course. What we're going to word it is, if this renewal doesn't pass, we will have to do X. But it still feels like, when you're hearing those words, so the library is threatening to take away my library service if I don't go vote yes, even if I don't, you know, I can't afford it kind of situation. So yeah, that's what I mean by it. You know, I understand completely what you're saying. This is facts. If we don't have $14 million, we can't spend $14 million on library services. So we only have 5. That's all we have to spend.
Yeah, I don't see it as a threat. I appreciate that sentiment. I'm a business owner. When I don't have money in the bank, I can't make payroll. That's not a threat to my employees. It's a simple fact that you can't write checks, you can't cash. And so for me, I think it's important that we move forward as a board believing that we can. That we can pass it, that we can help communicate with the public, and we can help restore whatever kind of confidence is or is perceivably broken. And just strongly advise that you build a backup plan and a marketing plan to help go back into the batter's box and try to hit a home run. I don't expect that you could have done anything more in the last 48 hours. And so I don't want to provide a minimized budget personally, because if we do that, then regardless of whether the mill is passed or not, we're going to pass a lesser budget. And we don't want that either. We don't want to preemptively diminish services if the money does indeed be there. I think we just, again, give your team time to breathe and take a moment and process, come up with a contingency plan. It's a, obviously it's not ideal, it's not fun, and we know it's a lot of work. It's a double effort for y'all. But I think if we show good faith that we are cognizant of the situation and we're aware of the consequences of the millage not passing again, but at the same time believing in the services and believing the people of Lafayette to, and maybe a clearer ballot, make a different decision, I think that's what we need to do.
I would like to echo what Mr. Christopher said as well. I agree with his sentiments, and I would like as a board for us to collectively recognize the hot seat we are putting Mr. Galeen in tonight, asking him to speak on record for potential things that could come about in the future. He is answering our questions, maybe more so honestly than he had prepared to tonight, and he has reiterated that he has only had 48 hours to digest this information, as Mr. Christopher stated as well. So I agree with his sentiments in moving forward with the budget we have outlined. I would like to move forward with the can-do attitude. I think the board needs to take a hard look at our own responsibilities. I appreciate Mr. Moore's statement tonight, and I appreciate his effort with Ms. Mia and as the president of an organization that deeply cares about the library, and I'm glad to see a collaborative effort among us. And I would like to challenge myself, as well as the rest of us, to be more aligned with the efforts that Mr. Galeen has been going about and will ultimately have to do again.
Definitely appreciate all the conversation. Danny, let me just zoom in just a little bit more, not to put you on the spot, because I think all of us are a little bit starry-eyed right now, dazed and not very clear-eyed, because I feel like I'm on my heels looking to approve a budget that was just cut. Yes, I understand it's a ways off. But at the same time, to Mr. Eric's point, and it's really where my heart was and where my mind was, is if we're facing that, we basically have some freeboard, Larry, every year, that along with some other financial austerity that we could practice could extend us out maybe a whole nother year past that. And so I just really want to have some time to think through this. So here's my question before I say anything else. If we push this till next month, do we lose our opportunity to even weigh in? Because again, at the end of the day, it goes to the budget office, then it goes to the parish and the mayor, and we're not the final say. But at the same time, I don't want to use the say that I do have to go into to approve something that I'm just not sure about and I disagree with personally as a trustee. I'm not speaking just specifically as the president, but as a trustee in my vote, I'm trying to steward that well. So if we kick it a month and we work on some things, some contingencies, what changes? Does anything change? Do we lose our ability to even make recommendations?
I don't think we can. I think that we have the requirement to submit it, and so they're going to take something from us one way or the other. So the budget documents that we have provided, they're going to use. And it's like I said, so our meeting with the mayor president and the CFO is next week. So any concerns we can voice, but ultimately I believe they're gonna look at our budget in the same way that we're funded this year, and we'll collect and have money for next year and make whatever cuts we have to make. Now, I'm not thinking they're gonna say, well, we're gonna make whatever cuts we have to make in January of 28, because at that point in time, you are literally looking at cutting a minimum of 50% of your operating revenue out. We won't have enough money, because we have a fund balance. I mean, we still have money in the fund balance. But we won't have enough money to just dive off a cliff. So in 27, we would start, knowing we're fully funded for 27, we would start at that point in time cutting the hours or services that we need to cut, not filling positions and such, to lower our cost as much as we can, so that yes, we could survive a year, such as East Baton Rouge Parish more or less had to do, is survive a year where you're not collecting, and then go back in front of the voters in 28 and say, you know, how did you like the end of 27 and the beginning of 28? Would you like to fund us for 29? But I don't think that we have any wiggle room on time. I think that the situation we're in right now and the situation that you're in right now, because of the way LCG's budget cycle works. I mean, we're talking, you're talking about in May making your recommendations for a budget that doesn't start until November. The council's not going to talk about this until August. And so you're being put in a spot where you have to make this decision 6 months early, knowing that you still have another election to go through. And I think they understand that, but their time frame doesn't allow us any room to wait a month. They would meet with us next week, and I would tell them that the board doesn't have any recommendations yet and wants to wait a month, and I believe that the response would be something to the effect of, well, we can't wait. And so I think that getting your opinions and getting your recommendations or your thoughts to them, this is my only shot.
We're about to build a brand new library, and if the tax didn't pass, how does that affect the building of the new Northeast Library? We're not going to have, we're talking about if it doesn't pass a second time, shutting down libraries and stuff. Does it affect the Northeast Library in any way?
It has.
And I'm not
to.
Trying to pick on them in anything. I'm just trying to have an honest conversation.
It has to. I don't know how that works. Last year, the administration came in, explained about contracts and who builds buildings and who owns buildings. If we don't have a built building, I cannot imagine us finishing a building that's going to cost $10 million plus if we can't afford to operate it. But I cannot speak for Lafayette Consolidated Government's administration. And I don't have an answer to that question, and no one has provided me with that kind of information.
And that obviously is on everyone's mind, and Danny, again, we...
I am going to ask that question.
We apologize for putting you in these...
You're paying me to be here.
...in these corners. We are, but at the same time, you're really doing a great job fielding all of this. I know that you worked your tail off, so did the rest of the administration, in pushing this. Several of us did everything that we could do, so I want to understand where we are, because last year, it was my first year on the board, and we had guaranteed revenue the next year, so the budget process was nowhere near as high stakes as it is this time around. What I understand, I think I heard, is we have to either pass or fail the budget, and then we can make recommendations. Can you help me better understand the make recommendations? Because I certainly have some recommendations, I just don't understand the process in which we have to conduct that here at this moment.
Essentially, that's exactly what I'm telling you. So, in a lot of ways, you're not making the budget. We're presenting a budget to you that you're giving your blessing to or expressing your reservations to. And we're giving that same budget with expressing your opinions to the parish administration and the council. And
that's my question.
They are literally the people who are going to make that decision. And I don't know what they do with the opinions. They will ask us questions when they have questions, like, at the August hearings, the council, they'll ask us some questions in front of the public. They asked us a few questions this past year. There have been years where they've asked none. So I don't know. I honestly don't know how the five members of the parish council decide what questions they want to ask or if they want to ask questions. The administration has their own agenda, and I don't mean that in a bad way for any of the people involved. That's the only word I have. They have their agenda. They know which direction they want to lead the parish, and they know how they want us to fit into that or where they think we fit into it. And that will be what guides the conversations that we have next week. Last year, when we asked them about the money, for the capital money, about moving money in, because there wasn't going to be enough money to build a new library in the current capital fund. So we made a recommendation of how much money they should move over based on what the board had suggested from the size of the library, and the same thing with the Karen Crow Library, and what the savings and what the expansion would cost nowadays to move a little bit of money over. And they did. They could have just as easily have told us no. So this was clearly, at the time, a priority. I feel like I'm giving you no information whatsoever.
No, and again, I appreciate it. I have, because we've got to take a vote tonight, which
correct.
Will happen. My question is, within the fiduciary responsibility that this board has, wherever that stops, doesn't sound like it goes very far, but wherever that stops, how do we communicate our concerns that you're going to bring back? Am I going to write them down? Do we need to vocalize them here at a public meeting?
I'm thinking you vocalize them here in this public meeting, because if you all individually vocalized or wrote them down in an email to me and sent them to me, I have no idea where that falls in that whole quorum, walking quorum, open meetings law thing. So my presumption is it comes here, it's spoken out loud here. We have the recording, we transcribe that. I send it to the administration this week, and then I reiterate it vocally in front of the administration next week.
Okay, perfect. That's exactly what I needed. Thank you.
Okay.
So
it took me a long time to get there.
No, you did a great job, my friend. You did a great job. You always provide good information. Before we move on to the actual call for a vote, I would just like to open the floor to anyone. I know most everyone has already articulated their concerns, but to keep it more concise for Danny and the team, if you would, just one more time, whoever wills, go ahead and share what those concerns or suggestions are that you would like to see go to the budget office and ultimately the parish council and ultimately the mayor's office. At this point, please, if you have anything.
What we said is not sufficient enough.
Again, I'm trying to keep it concise because we said a lot, and I don't want them to have to go in and try to figure out, well, what do we want to say, what do we not want to say. I just want it to be concise. So.
Yeah, for note-taking purposes, my stance is that we proceed with the budget as it stands, work on a contingency budget, worst-case scenario, and then develop a strong marketing campaign and communication campaign leading into the potential having the mill tax put back on the ballot. That's my 2 cents.
Irina Bradley, agree with Mr. Holmes' statement, and that is the position I will take.
Thank you both. My position is that we have a budget that has been decimated, not within the next 6 months or the following fiscal or the following 26-27 year, but shortly thereafter, and I think there's a lot of financial austerity measures we can take immediately to prepare for the worst and hope and pray for the best. And so therefore, I would like for the budget office, the mayor, and the parish council to lean into the library, the board, and the professionals that run the library to look at what those measures could be now, today, and not just follow a government timeline that says we gotta approve a budget, so we're just gonna approve a budget. That's my perspective.
Well, I agree with Ms. Rina and Mr. Christopher, that we should move forward with the budget that we are presented with, because I really do believe that the public, once they know the importance of losing that tax, that when it's up again for a vote, that it will pass. And if not, I have every confidence in Mr. Gullane and his team that they will make the hard decisions to do what they have to do.
And my position is I absolutely have faith in Mr. Danny and his team. I really do. However, I do have major concerns just for the longevity of our library. And if we could plan ahead and make sure that we build up funds that shields us from that possibility of a tax failure, I think that it is very prudent of us to do that.
Okay, thank you all for accommodating that, Danny. I hope that makes it a little easier for y'all to transcribe. Okay, so.
If it's all right with you, as we transcribe this, I'm not just going to send it to the administration, I'm going to forward it on to the five council members as well.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Thank
you.
Yes.
Okay, so our business is the budget. Do we have any motions concerning the budget?
To make a motion to approve the budget.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Christopher.
I second it.
We have a second by Ms. Arena. Do we have any public comment?
Cindy Fox.
My name is Cindy Wilkes Fox. I'm a resident of Scott, and I'm asking you to pass this budget because I agree the election on Saturday was, I don't even know how to describe it politely. People did not know what they were voting for on the levy. And as a matter of fact, on the I vote by mail, on the mail-in ballot, the levy was on the back. I knew to look for it, but I'm pretty sure that a lot of people didn't even know it was there. I think we're going to pass it. So let's just be optimistic and move on. Thank you.
Margaret Olkers.
I implore. I'm Margaret Olkers. I live in Lafayette Parish and have for most of my life. I implore the board to move forward with the budget that Danny and his team have put together. Let's move forward with optimism and know that Holy Rosary Library will be built in Lafayette Parish. Thank you.
End of comments.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second on the floor. Let's go ahead and take the vote at this time. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Nay. The ayes have it. The motion carries. The budget is approved. Okay, we have a couple of announcements. A reminder that our next library meeting will be held Monday, June 29th. A reminder that yearly ethics training and sexual harassment training must be completed before December 31st. That's all of our announcements. Do we have any other public comments on matters not on the agenda?
Ms. Virginia McWhorter.
And out of respect for our new attorney, I'm going to be very brief and watch my language, and the rest of them can fill you in on that. But I do really want to appreciate this board and the hard work that Danny and the staff have put in. And I'm thinking that there's this referendum on all of y'all's work unfairly because of the series of agenda controversies that we have been subjected to over the last few years. And I'm going to just briefly mention two of them. I think the whole issue of resulted in that lawsuit and cost money has rebounded onto the board as y'all's fault. And the other problem, more recent, is this disrespectful and unilaterally overriding the hard work that the library board and staff had done to provide a site for the Northeast Parish Library. And that's just left a sour taste in many of the general public that are not aware of all of the things that y'all have been saying that the library presents and all of the hard work and the real business-like tenor that has been being accomplished over the last few years that I've been attending, as opposed to some of the previous kind of things. But just personally, I find that the mayor president and the parish council, when I, as a constituent, Virginia McWhorter, Lafayette Parish, I didn't say that first, tried to discuss it with Monique about the parish changed site overruling y'all's hard work, I was very much appalled by the fact that she put a piece of gum in her mouth and turned her back on me and walked off and said, I've discussed this with the board. That's all I got to say.
Eb Hale.
Good evening. I'm Eb Hale, Lafayette Parish. I'm retired. And I support the library board, and I'm one of the few that voted for the millage. But if I were to have a reason not to, I think primarily it would be that the board was not supported by the administration last year. And you guys had a well thought out plan as far as purchasing property, having a building, a location, and everything. And at the last minute, everything changed to build a building on leased property, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. I thought, you know, how can that happen when everything was approved up to that point, and then all of a sudden everything changed? And so if I had a reason not to vote for the millage, it would have been that. Thank you.
End of comments.
Okay. If everyone please stand, we'll close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for what we're able to accomplish here tonight. We ask that as we all move forward and consider the ways that we can use our influence in conversation and sharing our experiences about this wonderful Lafayette Library system that we have. I ask that you would give us wisdom, lead us, order our footsteps, connect us in the right places. And we thank you, Father, that if we do have to make these types of cuts, that you would help us to do these things in a way that would not harm our people. Thank you that each one of us will continue to do everything we can to support our Lafayette Library. Bless us and keep us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We are adjourned. Thank you so much for coming tonight.